exhausted by the time I got here. But I'm inspired by the word of God to be here. The letter to Titus is just that. It's a letter to Titus. It has some important points for us to consider as well. Even though it is a letter to him, it is a letter to him to instruct the followers of Jesus. So that's important because we need to make some very clear distinctions and some determinations about whether you are a follower of Jesus. So I cannot make that determination for you. You have to make that determination for yourself. Are there any followers of Jesus in here today? There's a few of you. Are there any followers of Jesus in here today? Then you might want to pay attention to what Titus has to say, or what Paul has to say to Titus, to us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, I've expanded a little bit of the original passage that I had. The Lord just kind of said, no, there's a little more I want you to be able to share a little bit. And so I expanded the first couple verses and then the last couple verses. So some people early on got the soap and it was, 3 to 8, but then it went from 1 to 11. So I expanded it out a little bit on kind of both ends. So I thought it might be a little more appropriate for us today. And part of that reason being so that we can take a look at a little bit of the background that's going on with Titus. Just a quick look. Paul's writing to Titus, and Titus is in Crete. Crete is an island off the coast of Greece. So Paul and Titus go there. They preach for a while, and they start gathering people around them. They start gathering believers around them. They start gathering followers of Christ. There's some home churches. There's small fellowships scattered throughout the entire island. Small, but yet fairly substantial. Substantial enough, so much so, that Paul would ask Titus to stay there on the island and then to continue to mentor them that they might begin to establish leadership among them. Follow me so far? Not too complicated, right? The first couple chapters in Titus is really strong on leadership, particularly on leadership qualifications, men within the church, some basis even that we still use today for qualifications for eldership and deaconship and things like that within the church are found in this letter of Titus. And a lot of passages in a lot of churches will be preached out of Titus today because it's Father's Day. Establishing good leaders in our homes and in our churches. Particularly strong leadership. Having some good foundations, it's important. Especially now when you start to think about, a little bit more about, where he is. Where Titus is. He's on the island of Crete. And Crete is corrupt. Crete is corrupt. A lot of bad teachings concerning faith, a lot of bad teachings just in civil liberties, a lot of bad teachings. Paul would write, "The reason I left you, Titus, in Crete was that you might put into place in order that I have left unfinished, that you might appoint leaders and elders in every town as I have directed you." And so in that description, he starts to describe some of those things. And this is what a lot of churches preach, right? And what the scriptures say about being a good leader, good father, manages their own household well. They're not overbearing. They're not quick-tempered. Not a drunkard. They're not violent. They're not pursuing dishonest gain. So you might have to give up the drug dealing. They're also upright, disciplined. And they encourage others in sound doctrine. Those are some of the basis points, just the beginning to look at some of what Paul would write to Titus as trying to establish some good leadership. And just looking at that, I go, man, that's a lifetime's worth of an endeavor right there. Just trying to be able to manage my own household well, not be overbearing, not be quick-tempered, not be a drunkard, not violent, don't pursue dishonest gain, but be an honest man, be upright, disciplined, and encourage others. Man, that's a lifetime's endeavor right there for any man. That being described is in stark contrast of what's going on in the Isle of Crete. That is not describing the men in Crete. Paul wrote, "For there are many rebellious people, full of meaningless talk and deception. They are disrupting whole households." Cretans are liars, they're evil brutes, and they're lazy gluttons. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are corrupted, they do not believe. Nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds, and you'll like this word, and their consciences are corrupted. Both their minds and their consciousness are corrupted. They claim to know God, but their actions deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. Those are some strong words about the Cretans. Those are some strong words about all the people that are surrounding Titus that Paul left him there with. Those are some strong words about trying to look for potential leaders in the midst of all of that. Trying to appoint and find followers in the midst of all of that. And that's really what's amazing to me is to recognize that in the community that is corrupt and that is far from God, he says, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities. To be obedient. And to be ready to do whatever is good. To slander no one. To be peaceable. Considerate. And always be gentle toward everyone. I'm saying, what? Didn't you just say that there are a bunch of cheaters and liars and evildoers and their consciences aren't even clear? Didn't you just say that? Yeah, I did. All about them. You know what I'm saying about you? Remind the people to be subject. Be obedient. To do whatever is good, slander no one, be peaceable, considerate. Another lifetime's worth of endeavor. Remind, there's your first one. Remind the people. Remind them. Remind them. And this tense of a verse is a present tense, which means it doesn't go away, which just means continuously remind them. Continuously remind them. Continue to remind them. And that's important for me. I get some encouragement from this because I have to admit, there are times, really? Grace again? You want me to preach mercy again? Forgiveness again? Again? Every year it seems like Christmas. Every year it just seems like, you know what? We're going to have to talk about Easter. Every year, over and over and over. It's Pentecost. Remind the people. Remind them. Remind them. It's good for them. It's good for them. People learn through repetition. People learn through repetition. People learn through repetition. People learn through repetition. Hey, I got a question for you. How do people learn? Thank you for proving my point. God says remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities. And this is usually important, not just to Titus, but to us. In our own society today, there are all kinds of laws, manifestos that are coming at us, have been coming at us, and it may get worse, may even be more contradictory. Let's make sure we understand exactly what this content is all about. On the island of Crete, there's a lot of rudeness. There's a lot of crudeness. There's a lot of malice. There's a lot of slander and swindling and greed. Even in the midst of the government, the police, and all those people doing business. Titus reminds all of them, be good citizens. Be good citizens. Good citizens in the midst of bad government. You have no excuse. So even if you feel you're in the midst of bad government, with high inflation and crazy policies, and evil abounds everywhere. Be a good citizen. Remind the people to be a good citizen. Listen, you are blessed. If you live in the United States of America, you are blessed. In spite or despite of all the ramifications and the things and the bad mouth and the slander and the talking that goes on, you are blessed. As far as I can tell, our government is not asking you to cheat, to lie, to bow down to a graven image. Your government has not asked you to curse your God and to turn away. Your government has not asked you to covet or to take the Lord's name in vain. We are fortunate to live where we live. Remind the people. While you may not like all the governmental policies that are taking place, you are asked by your higher authority to be subject to them. And if I recall in another part of Scripture, it really is pretty clear that God appointed them anyway. For his sovereign plans and his sovereign purposes, not yours. You serve a higher authority than the United States Republic. Do you get that? If you walk that, you understand that. And you walk blessed and in peace in this land. You serve a higher authority, a kingdom authority. You have not been asked to reject your God. You have been asked to live peacefully with those that do not believe like you. And your God has said, remind the people to be obedient and subject to the authorities that are appointed over you. Ready? Those in the church and outside the church. It's not just governmental civil authority. Paul just spent chapters talking about establishing good leadership within the church and remind the people to be subject to authorities in the church and outside the church. Good citizenship. Are you a good citizen? Are you a good civil citizen? Do you vote? If you don't vote, I don't want to hear anything you have to say concerning politics because you have a voice and you choose to not. But you want to say me, tell me all about it. No. You have a voice, vote. You know what a privilege that is? Vote. Jury duty. Anybody ever serve in jury duty? Are you ready? Who's lied to get out of it? You don't have to answer, but you are in church. God knows. Are you a good citizen? Pay your taxes, please. Drive the speed limit. Register your vehicle. Please don't rob from your neighbor and try not to commit murder, okay? What's a good church citizen? They show up for services. They pray. They give. We strive to live in obedience. We are always ready, the scriptures say, be always ready to do that which is good. Good works. What would good works look like? Well, probably voting. Showing up for jury duty might be good. Driving the speed limit, trying to not rob my neighbor, right? Not coveting, that kind of thing. You know, how about in the church? Prayer. Showing up for prayer. How about we pray for our government? Woo! There's a good one. How about we continue to pray for our schools and all our children? How about we continue to pray for our president? Pray for good works to be done in this great country. And listen, folks, let's be a working church. Not an idle church. A good church within the community. We'll be ready to offer encouragement and healing. Here's what it's all about. You'll look different than the rest of society. You'll look different than what is evil. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the evil dark forces that threaten our souls. Be ready to do good works. Be a good citizen. Get involved. Jump in. The Christian life is not a passive one. You might want to write that down and even stick it on your refrigerator. The Christian life is not a passive one. What does that mean? The Christian life is not sitting on your couch listening to 8 hours worth of sermons and going, I'm a good Christian. Be hearers of the word, not only, but be doers of the word. Do what it says. We are to be at work. What kind of work? Good works. Being a good citizen takes effort. It takes work. And the scripture points out a few things that we can just try to do ourselves. Speak evil of no one. Which one? How are we doing with that? How are we doing with that? Nothing disheartens me more than hearing another brother in Christ talk bad about another brother in Christ. Nothing hurts me more than watching a pastor talk bad about another pastor who's given their life over to Christ and serving Christ. And maybe they don't like the methods. Maybe they don't like the way they talk. Maybe they don't like the way they dress. But I certainly don't like the way you're talking about them. Speak evil of no one, believer or not, president or not. Be peaceable. Be gentle. Humility toward all men. Which men? Are you kidding me? That's going to take a lifetime's worth of work. Every day, God's working on it. He's working in us. Sounds like character development. It's character development, dads. He's working on your character. Good dads look not only, they look at the son's character, not just the clothes and the hairstyle and the car they drive and the music choice they listen to. The character of a man will carry you further than any career. The character of a man will carry you further than any temporary fetish they find themselves involved in. Work on the character of an individual. And Titus reminds them to be obedient, to be ready for good works, to speak peace, be gentle, and show humility. That's just right out of the gate. That's just the first couple of verses. In the Isle of Crete, where it's all corrupt, in the United States of America, where it's all corrupt, he's telling you. Why? Because at one time you were too were foolish. At one time you were disobedient. At one time you were deceived and you were enslaved by all kinds of passions and all kinds of pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating everyone. We lived like that at one time. Remind them. Remind them. There's your next one. Remember. Remember. Remind them. Don't let them forget where they came from. And you want to remind them of that because they have escaped. They have freedom. Help them remember. We escaped this world. We escaped the world of cheating. We escaped the world of lying and stealing and chasing the dollar and lust and envy. We escaped all of that. You are not like that anymore, remember? Do you sound way too much like the world and not enough like the Bible? Do you sound way too much like the world and CNN and Fox News more than you do Jesus Christ? We escaped all that. We arose above the delusion that this world is our home. We serve a higher kingdom. We rose above the deception and the despair and all the evil tendencies that mock us and pull us in. We walk a new walk and we talk a new talk. You live a new way. You don't live like the Cretans. Our character shines in the midst of chaos. Our character radiates the love of God, even in the midst of hate talk. Our character offers hope in the middle of racism and despair and cheating and all the darkness. We offer something much different than this world has to offer. Are you living the life that God is asking you to live? Hate for no one? Which one? On this Isle of Crete, the Christians stood out. They stood out among the bitter, argumentative, hateful, greedy, lost souls. All they wanted to talk about was the world. All they wanted to talk about was those things that were temporary. Talking about eternity and eternal things, a different kingdom, a different way of life. What are you focused on? What are you talking about? Something that's going to last 100 years, maybe? And that's got you so consumed? Where to stand out among the Cretans? All those lost souls like you, hateful at one time, can be redeemed, can be reclaimed, can be reborn, can be regenerated. That's the hope. That's the hope. And that's why God is so, so patient for them, with you, for them. He chooses to work in you and through you for them. You are living proof. You're walking and talking living proof that the power of God can change a heart, that the power of God can change a mind, that the power of God can transform a soul. Aren't you that? All those that would say when we first start, well, I'm a dedicated follower of Christ. Yeah, that's me. Well, are you? You're the living proof. You're the testimony. You demonstrate every day, each and every day, day in and day out, the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Your life is a living testimony to the lost. You testify just by the way you live, just by the way you conduct your business, just by the way you conduct your household, just by the way you show up at church, just by the way you greet the cashier, just by the way you wave to the person that just cut you off. You testify that the lost do not have to be lost, that the hateful do not have to be hateful, that the corrupt do not have to be corrupt. They do not have to be filled with hate. They do not have to be dishonest. They do not have to be unethical. You are living proof of transformation and the power of the Holy Spirit of God in someone's life. Remembering too that you once were like that. Remembering that just, it should bring up within you an immense amount of mercy for them. It should bring up an immense amount of patience for them. An immense amount of forgiveness. And it must well up within you this great amount of hope for them. Remembering brings gratitude to your own soul. It just brings gratitude to your own soul. So grateful where I am, when I am, and for this Cretan who's arguing that I might be a light. I might bring hope. I might offer a different perspective that's not so temporary and so dark and so full of despair and so delusioned. You're looking at the wrong things if you're walking that way. That's not what God filled you with. He filled you with the light, the Holy Spirit of God, that you might be a living example and a living testimony to the dark world, that they don't have to live like that anymore. Thank God I'm not what I used to be. Thank God he enlightened me. Thank God he changed me and saved me. I should do some good works and pray for the darkness that's around me, for the Cretans that are around me. The only one that can save us, Jesus. The only thing that can bring light into the world, Jesus. Here's your next slide. Listen, I cannot brag about my love for God. I fail him constantly all the time. But I can brag about his love for me. He never fails me. You get it? I'm bragging about me. I can't brag about me. but I can brag about his love for me. I can do that all day, every day. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, that's nice. When the kindness and love of our God, our Savior appeared, he saved us. He saved us. He saved us. Not because of righteous things you had done, but because of his mercy. You understand? I don't get cookies because I'm good. I get cookies because he's good. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit of God when he poured out on us lavishly, generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. Having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. All my hope is in you, Lord. Where else can I go? And when I see the disillusioned, when I see the darkness, when I see the hopeless, I know what they don't have. They don't have what I have. The Holy Spirit of God marked upon my life. What can I do? Pray. God, enlighten them, please. And some are way lost. Way lost. Some are nice, kind, friendly, good citizens. Some lost really badly. This is a trustworthy saying. And I want you to stress these things so that all who have trusted in God, have you trusted in God? May be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. And these things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Which one?
Everyone.
Be a good citizen of earth with your hope in heaven. It's a rebirth. There's your next one, rebirth. In spite of what we once were, God chose to love us. We were lost, he saved us. We were defiled, he washed us clean. We were dead, he regenerated us back to life. We were empty, and he filled us with the Holy Spirit of God. See, religion is just man trying to get up to God. Salvation is God coming to you. And there are countless religions all striving to get to God. There is one salvation. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, which man? Comes unto the Father except through me. And why not? He's the creator of it all. I'm amazed at how far God would go to set a soul free. I'm amazed at how far he went and how patient he was with me. The best I can do, the absolute best I can do, is pour that onto somebody else. As a witness and a living testimony of what God can do. I'm in awe that he would consider an old sinner like me. I can never get over that a king would sacrifice himself for me. Calvary's Hill holds more power than Capitol Hill. Not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Because of God's mercies towards us, we do not receive the punishment we deserve. And we can't really live good enough. We can't do enough. We can't be charitable enough. We can't feed enough people. We can't clothe enough people. We can't house enough people. But we are saved. We are delivered. Maybe you're trying to get to heaven based on the fact that you're a good person. Maybe you think you've done enough good deeds in your life to actually say, you know what? I'm not a good citizen. I'm a great citizen. I deserve heaven. And if you're thinking that, you'd be wrong. Odds are, the works that you think that you've accomplished are all self-centered, self-motivated, and self-absorbed. And by the way, you didn't qualify because of your lack of humility. The closer I get to the Lord, I don't feel more qualified, I feel less qualified. The closer I get to the Lord, I don't feel more righteous, I feel more undeserving and more grateful and more gratitude. The closer I get to the Lord, the more I realize how very much I actually depend on Him. Less on me and more on Him. Spiritual maturity does not give you righteousness. Here's your next slide. Spiritual maturity uncovers your unworthiness. You do not show me your spiritual maturity by all the righteous talk you have or by all the Bible verses that you can quote. That is not spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity is humbled at the altar, broken. That's spiritual maturity. It is not being better than others. It is recognizing that you are just like all the others, but for the grace of God. It's all about Him, it's all for Him, and it's all because of Him. If God had just delivered us from our sin and our debt and freed us from hell, that would be enough. But He's done so much more than that. He's gone much, much further. He saved us from ourselves. I don't know about you, but God's salvation, mercy, and grace, it's amazing to me. I'm in awe of it. I know me, and there are days I don't like me, but He loves me. And while I venture the wrong way and do the wrong things and step on it again and say the wrong things, do the wrong thing, go to the wrong place, He loves me. He cares for me like a good, good father. He'll challenge me. He'll discipline me. He'll care for me. He'll counsel me. He'll guide me like a good, good father would. I'm amazed that God would dress in flesh and identify with me. That which is spiritual, no form, created matter, form. And that which is spiritual would take on the form of flesh, matter. That a spiritual being whom I believe in would actually do that astounds me. He does not have anything to prove, but He wanted a relationship with me. We were separated, far, far from each other. It amazes me that He would walk a walk of sacrifice. Not only that He would become one of us, but that He was willing to be a sacrifice, a lamb. That He would demonstrate His service to others so strongly that He would lay down His life. Not give money, lay down His life. Not say a prayer, lay down His life. He poured out love on those that hated Him. This Jesus, He wrecks me. That's why we call this the rec room, by the way, the sanctuary. If you're on there, it's the rec room. He wrecks me. Everything about Jesus is remarkable. Everything. You ready? He was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. He taught with authority. He healed the sick. He cleansed the lepers. He made the blind to see, and He caused the deaf to hear. He caused the dumb to speak, and here I am speaking at you. He made the lame to walk, and He cast out demons. He raised people from the dead. He laid down His own life for you to have a relationship with this wonderful, amazing, spiritual God. And He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and He sat down at the right hand of the Father. He has provided atonement for your sins, and He is making intercession on your behalf as we speak right here, right now, this very day. That's a remarkable Jesus. He has forgiven your sins. He saved your soul from hell. He changed your life. He provided eternal life. He has gone to prepare a place for you. And He promised that He would come back and receive His own unto Himself. He has defeated sin, defeated death. He has defeated Satan and hell, and he has defeated the grave. What else can I tell you? He's remarkable, amazing. Oh, yeah, soon, and very soon, he is going to split the eastern sky with a shout, with a voice of an archangel, the sound of the trumpet. He will call his children home. He will rise up. We will rise up out of this world of sorrow, and we will meet him in the air, and we will dwell with him and reign with him forevermore. Are there any believers in the house today? You cannot begin to base your eternity on anything that you can do. It is way too little. It will never be enough. Put your faith, put your hope, and put your trust in Jesus Christ, the only one for salvation. He's already done all the work. Today, make that a prayer of your faith. Jesus, give me more. I need more of the Holy Spirit. I desire to walk with you. Wash me clean. Forgive me. And when my day comes and when my flesh gives out, would you receive me unto yourself? I believe that there's a transformation that takes place in the life of a Christ follower. A real transformation that takes place. You are not what you used to be. You can't be. You have to think different. You act different. You speak different. Why? Because you are different. You're dead to yourself, and you're alive in the Holy Spirit of God. You see things differently on an eternal plane, in a spiritual way, unless you're relying on your flesh. There's an adjustment to your character. Here's your next one. There's an adjustment, a readjustment to your character. There's a readjustment to the way you think. There's a readjustment to the places you hang out. There's a readjustment to how you deal with your friends. They may be the same friends you've had for 30 years, but you're different now. Avoid foolish controversies. Oh, wow. How am I going to tiptoe around that one? I keep trying to avoid it, but man, they keep fishing me right back in. Avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, arguments, and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. Why are they unprofitable and useless? Because they're not eternal. Warn a divisive person once, warn them a second time. After that, don't have anything to do with them. You may be sure that such people are warped and sinful, and they are self-condemned. There needs to be adjustments in our character and how we deal with those people that are warped and sinful, self-condemned, hateful, dishonest. And let's go back to the first. Be peaceable. Be considerate. It's not allowing them to influence you. It's not allowing them to rent space in your brain. It's useless, pointless, unprofitable. Many of us need to make some readjustments. Maybe you just need to make some readjustments concerning how deep you are into controversies. Anybody like conspiracy theories? People tell them to me all the time. Pastor, do you know? Wow, really? That's a spiritual realm thing happening, and you can see that. Wow, that's amazing. You have good spiritual discernment. Good thinking. Yes, that's amazing. Yes, you should wear your shoes backwards now, from now on. Anybody go to a chiropractor? Ever been to a chiropractor? Right? You go to a chiropractor, it gives you an adjustment. Right? And then you feel better. Everything's like, oh yeah, much better. Right? How about your car? Sometimes your car's out of alignment. Right? You got to take your car to a, anybody ever get a, right? You get it a, I did not realize that my four-wheel, all-wheel vehicle needed four-wheel alignment. Did you know that all, it's not just your front tire, sometimes your back, you got to get all this, right? There's an alignment that takes place. Because what happens? Listen, maybe you can apply this to your own life. Listen, too far to the left, you're out of alignment. Too far to the right, what happens? You're out of alignment. What's the Indian proverb for our politics? Left wing, right wing. Part of same bird. Useless and pointless. You might be out of alignment. And you might be out of alignment not with just your government. You might be out of alignment with your God. I want to get fixed and move in a smooth manner. Walk a balanced, confident, full life that God has for me. Knowing that he's empowered me for just such a walk. Let me end with this. Remind them and remind them again some things that they might need adjustments on. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Yeah, I'm right there, Pastor. I'm with you so far. I love it. I love it. You might need adjustment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Why did you have to add that, God? Some of us need a little bit of a tune-up, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. What does that mean? That means you show up for church pretty regularly. That means you show up in fellowship and in prayer groups and in Bible studies. That's what that means. Perhaps some of us need some fine tune-ups in how we give of our time, how we give of our talents, how we give of our treasures. So here today, I'm asking you, re-examine your life. Make adjustments where it's necessary. And this is the place. These are the people. Now's the time. Get right with your God. Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, in this place, this very day, I pray your spirit work among us, Father. And I pray that you bring to our minds where we need adjustment. Help me to not think about, hey, they need an adjustment. They need a realignment. No, Father. Help me focus on me. For you saved me. Might your Holy Spirit bring to mind that where I need some alignment, some readjustments. And Father, I pray that by the blood of Christ, you would wash us all clean. Forgive us for the times when we have fallen short. We've not lived up to that which you've asked us. Father, make us clean. Set us on a new course. Readjust us. And Father, might we see very clearly what you're asking of us. What you're asking of us in the midst of a crazy world. We need you. We pray your Holy Spirit empower us to accomplish all the good works that you have laid out before us to do. May our lives serve as a living testimony of what God can do in the midst of someone's life. We are humbled by you, Lord, and so grateful and so thankful. Thank you that we can sing praises and dance before you. Thank you that we can be humbled and confess and you can wash us clean. Thank you that there are brothers and sisters that are walking with us in this walk. Continue to bind us together that we might serve you and serve you well for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. In his name, amen.